Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith at the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. We worship at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California. Many of you listening are spread out all over. I know many of you can't attend. You can always join our live stream. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream and join us. You can chat, you can worship, you can fellowship, you can offer up prayers. If you miss all those opportunities, you can go to our YouTube channel, which is The Seed Christian Fellowship, and click on our weekly worship services, our weekly messages, sermons, and our weekly children's sermons. It's our prayer that we all come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're in chapter 8 of Romans, and we're going to go back to the very beginning of chapter 8. We'll look at and read the first 17 verses, and let's just see how far we can get. As always, put yourself in a story and then put the story in you. Don't leave this message without putting the ancient words from over 2,000 years ago into action today. Think about the Roman Empire for a minute. At the height of the Roman Empire, their power and prestige reached as far north as the British Isles into Europe and as far as modern Germany, eastward throughout Asia Minor and around the eastern Mediterranean rim, south throughout North Africa. The Romans were conquerors and builders in the tradition of the world's greatest empires. In fact, they were the greatest empire yet to cast a shadow across the plane of human history. And yet, here in Romans 8, we have Paul in this letter to the Romans, dated somewhere around 57 AD, telling the Christians that they are, quote-unquote, more than conquerors. Little did the Christians in the world's mightiest city in the heart of the Roman Empire know how they were about to be called upon to be, quote-unquote, more than conquerors. Before we go to God's Word, let us approach the throne of grace in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Lord God of all creation, we come today to be recreated into your image through your living word. Lord Jesus, teach us today to live our lives in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit and make us more than conquerors in Jesus' name. Amen. Grab your Bible. We're going to be in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 17. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what the nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. And if the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Yet if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you receive the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we might also share in his glory. While I was on vacation a while back, I had time to rest and read. I finished a few books I'd already started and started on a new read by John Stott called The Incomparable Christ. Stott was a wonderful pastor and theologian. He takes you on a ride through the Gospels and the letters of the New Testament and expounds upon how to see the Christ the writers of the New Testament saw. Stott broke the book, broke down the book into three sections. The first is called The Original Jesus. The second is called The Ecclesiastical Jesus. And the final section is titled The Influential Jesus. As I've had some time away, I've been pondering the influence of Jesus on my life and the lives of many I know. During the week of July 4th, my wife and I went to the Ballpark Hilton in St. Louis, and we just had a wonderful time. Romans chapter 8 has been called by theologians one of the greatest chapters in the Bible. We talked about this last week. The old German commentator, Spinner, he said, if the Bible was a ring and the book of Romans a precious stone, chapter 8 would be the sparkling point of the jewel. Many commentators, you know, they divide that chapter into different sections, but we're going to look at chapter 8 in a new way. So let's look at this chapter this way. Now, the Lord is a spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That's what 2 Corinthians 3:17. Romans 8 begins with this promise that there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. The position that Paul wants the Christian to know is that they are free. They are free from condemnation. Why? Because of what Christ has done for us. John Chrysostom, the patriarch of Constantinople, he lived roughly, well, between 347 and 407 AD, and he earned the nickname Golden Mouth because of his eloquent sermons against the lavish excesses of his day. Because of his preaching against the excesses of Rome, the Roman authorities brought him in before the Roman emperor. The Roman emperor threatened Chrysostom with banishment if he remained a Christian. Chrysostom's reply to the emperor reflects the insights of one who understands that true freedom in life comes from the freedom in the Spirit and the security in the love of God. This is what he said. Thou canst not banish me, for this world is not my Father's house. But I will slay thee, said the emperor. Nay, thou canst not, said the noble champion of the faith, for my life is hid with Christ and God. I will take away thy treasures, said the emperor. Nay, but thou canst not, for my treasure is in heaven, and my heart is there. But I will drive thee away from man, and thou shalt not have no friend left, said the emperor. Nay, thou canst not, for I have a friend in heaven from whom thou canst not separate me. I defy thee, for there is nothing that thou canst do to hurt me. I don't know how you would stand if you were in persecution. A good so what question for us. Do you know the freedom you have in Christ? Do you know the freedom you have in Christ? Paul writes these words to us in the book of Galatians. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You know the freedom that you have in Christ. Paul tells us here in chapter 8 that our position in Jesus is that we stand free with no condemnation. What good news! We stand free without any condemnation. So how do we put this freedom into practice? That's a great so what question, isn't it? How do we put our freedom in Christ into practice? That is what Paul will explain in the next 15 verses of Romans. In this next section, we have some great big theological themes like, well, incarnation, atonement, justification, and sanctification. But I want to slow down and read these verses and interject a thought or two as we read them. Again, let's put ourselves in the story here and then put the story in us. Let's listen. For what the law was powerless to do is that it was weakened by the sinful nature. Listen, the law is powerless to save us because of our sinful nature. That's all he's saying. Then he says, what God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering, he's got some deep theology, and I'm just going to try and touch some little points. He said, God is the one who's doing all the action here. We are not. We are saved by grace. God chose to send his one and only son. This is the incarnation to become like us humans. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. We've seen his glory. The incarnation. Jesus was a sin offering in order to fulfill the law. Let's look at this part of this passage. It says, and so he, God, condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. I believe what Paul is trying to say is, well, just pause and ponder that powerful statement. God chose to put all the sin of humankind upon his one and only Son, so that through his one and only Son, the righteous requirements of the law are met for you and me. We can never meet the righteous requirement of the law. Only one man can and did. That's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let's look at this next little verse. Those who live according to the sinful nature have, quote, their minds set on what the nature desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We would love to have you write your prayer concerns on our website, on our prayer website. You can go to www.theseedchristianfellowship.com, and our prayer team will pray for you. If you have a biblical question or want to just know that you're not alone, you can email me at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. We're talking about being, you know, what our mind is controlled by in this verse 5 and 6. Notice how many times Paul uses the word mind in 5 and 6. Five times, Paul contrasts the mind of sinful people with the mind of those who live according to the Holy Spirit. Maybe another good so what question is, what about your mind? What's your mind thinking about? What's your mind on? What is your mind set on? What do you spend your time and money on? What do you think about the most? There is a clear warning here. The sinful mind is hostile to God. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. And if the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Paul challenges us here and begins to step on our toes. What are we being controlled by? Paul makes it clear that the mind set on the works of the flesh leads to death, while the mind set on the Spirit leads to life. I was reading the ending of Deuteronomy this past week and was reminded of the challenges that Moses gave to the people before they entered the Promised Land. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 16. He says, "For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess." Wow, Deuteronomy 30, 16. What a wonderful passage. That'd be a passage to hang on to. I read a disturbing statistic in one of my Christian emails this past week. Do you know that 26 million Americans mostly are completely stopped reading the Bible, especially during COVID? Wow. Currently, only 10% of Americans report daily Bible reading. I don't know where you're at with your Bible. Hey, if you need a Bible, we have people in our church that bought cases of Bible, the one-year Bible, and we'll mail you one if you need a Bible. 10% of the Americans polled said they read the Bible daily. If there are 100 people listening today, which I hope there are more, but if there's 100 people listening, statistics say that 90 of you don't read your Bible, and only 10 do. I don't know. Is that stuff on your toes? Instead of letting that statistic discourage you, resolve today to make it a priority to read and study your Bible. We'll mail you a Bible. Paul is telling us that in order for us to live in the freedom that Christ provided for us on the cross, we need to know what this book, the Bible, says. Lamentations tells us that God's word is new every morning. I've been reading my word of God daily ever since 1987. Well, really, since 1981, June 18th, 1981, I've been reading my Bible. I can tell you that there are days I read something I've never read before, and I've read this Bible through each year. Point two of this message is practice. Start easy. Begin with 10 minutes or start with a psalm or a chapter. Mark it with a sticky note and return tomorrow to continue where you were. For our minds are to be in Christ, our mind really needs to be in the Bible. Let's look at verses 10 through 13. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. But it is not the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. I read a powerful illustration in my preparation for this message. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones relates a classic case of spiritual misunderstanding in an incident from the lives of William Wilberforce, the man who led the movement to abolish slavery throughout the British Empire, and William Pitt the Younger, who at one time was Prime Minister of England. Wilberforce was a Christian. Pitt was only a formal Christian, like so many others in that day. However, these two parliamentarians were friends, and Wilberforce was concerned for his friend's salvation. In those days, there was a great preacher in London whose name was Richard Cecil. Wilberforce thrilled to his ministry, and was constantly trying to get his friend Pitt to go with him to hear Cecil. Pitt kept putting Wilberforce off, but at last, after many invitations, Pitt agreed to go. Cecil was at his best, preaching his most spirited manner. Wilberforce was ecstatic. He couldn't imagine anything more enjoyable or wonderful. He was delighted that Pitt was with him. But as they were leaving the service afterward, Pitt turned to his friend and said, "You know, Wilberforce, I have not the slightest idea what that man was talking about." Clearly, Pitt was deaf to God, as he was physically a dead man in some ways. Are we deaf to God? Are you not hearing what God says to you? I pray for you. I don't know if you need prayer, but email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. I'll pray for you. I'll help you understand what God says to you. Are you still with me? What did verse 12 say? And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. We are promised that if we live from this book called the Bible, the Holy Spirit will give us life. You want the power? You need to practice reading the Bible. So what? Let's wrap this up. Let's bring it home. This theological process of living a life in the Spirit is called sanctification or holy living. There is an awe-inspiring connection between the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian. The manifestation of the Spirit's power and presence brings control and peace and knowledge and grace, well, and so many other good things. What Paul is saying is that if the Spirit of God lives in you, you will be controlled by the Spirit. Let me read it again. If the Spirit of God lives in you, you will be controlled by the Spirit. It's a daily wrestling match, friends. Sometimes we are good and our halo shines brightly. Sometimes we fall and regret covers our heart. But each new day, we're given a chance to live in the freedom Christ bought for us on the cross. Corey Ten Boom offered an insight into this marvelous truth. She said, quote, I have a glove here in my hand. The glove cannot do anything by itself, but when my hand is in it, it can do many things too. It's not the glove, but my hand in the glove that acts. You, he says, she said, we are all gloves. It is the Holy Spirit in us who is the hand who does the job. We have to make room for the hand so that every finger is filled. What a beautiful illustration. That is what it means to make room for the Holy Spirit to live within us. We are the glove. The Holy Spirit is the hand in the glove. As many of you know, my wife came down with COVID when we were in St. Louis. I think she picked up that bug, you know, on the 4th of July parade when we were there a while back. But I want to share a couple of illustrations of being in the Spirit and led by the Spirit. In order to pick up Jack's prescription, I had to walk 8 city blocks through downtown St. Louis. The first morning I went to the checkout counter, there was this older woman working as the cashier. I asked her how her day was going. Honestly, she looked a little downcast. I hardly ever tell people I'm a pastor, but that morning, the Holy Spirit told me to tell the woman I was a pastor. As soon as I told her that I was a pastor, she walked from behind the checkout and asked me if I could pray for her. She told me she had a court date the next day and she was really afraid and anxious. I asked her name, Monica. I lifted my hand over her head and raised it, and I did not touch her, but I prayed out loud for her, and then I went on my way. The next morning, I had to go back to the same store to get another prescription for my wife. This time, Monica was not there. She was at her court date, and there was a younger man at the cashier. I asked him, how's your day going? And he scowled and frowned and told me it was a bad day. Friends, it was only 8 a.m. in the morning. I asked his name, and his name was Deshaun, and I told him I was a pastor and I'd like to pray for him. He agreed. I stopped and prayed out loud for him. Now I need to tell you, I don't normally do this. Maybe my wife would do this, but I tend to be a little more reserved. Guess what? I got another text that the other prescription was ready, and I had to go back to the same store later, walk the 8 blocks there, walk the 8 blocks back. Wouldn't you know it, Deshaun was still working. I went to his counter, and he looked up at me, and he smiled, and he said, thank you for praying for me. I'm having a great day ever since you prayed. Listen, my wife is the extrovert, if you really know that. She's the prayer warrior in our family. She's the one who gets out there in the battle and finds out who needs prayer and why. She's the one who stops everything and prays. Just one problem. She was asleep in her bed at the hospital during this time, at the hotel during this time. And the Holy Spirit said, Dave, you're the glove. Why don't you let me work in and through you? You know, all that goodness I gather up each day like manna from my Bible wouldn't do anyone any good if I kept it inside. Point 3 of our message today. First point, practice when you get the Holy Spirit's power in you, and then you're offered a multitude of opportunities to take the presence of the Holy Spirit in you and share it with the world around you. Practice. Position. You know the freedom that you have in Christ? Practice. What are your daily devotional practices to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Power, glove or no glove, walking and working in the Holy Spirit. Monica, the cashier, won her court case. Deshaun had a good day. Dave, the pastor, practiced the power of the presence of the God that lives in him. How about you? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray for those that need the power of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit in them. In Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and give you his grace. God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.